Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Rehm McCaffrey. Hi, this is Santia, and I'm here with Ruth Ann.
Hi, Santia.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks. Good.
Great to have you. Today, we're talking about resilience, and Rob, our engineer, had a number of sayings that he was using to describe resilience.
Hi, Ruth Ann. Hi, Santia. Thanks. We were just talking before the show, and I thought resilience is a great topic, and I thought, let's just talk about all of the ways that we in society talk about resilience. And I thought of cliches and common sayings like getting back in the ring again, picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, getting back in the saddle, don't just roll over and die, stand up and be counted, and let your voice be heard. And so I just wanted to kind of offer a little bit of that as kind of a fun way to get into a great subject about resilience. So I'm going to hand it back off to you guys.
Thanks, Rob.
So yeah, bouncing back is
one
of my favorite
ones. We're getting back in the saddle here.
And I love what you have as a mission as far as resilience. You are planning to grow resilience.
I am. In fact, there's a bit of a story on that. I've entered my book in a contest with Oprah Magazine, and the theme was, what do you want to grow? And I realized in entering that I do want to grow resilience. That's the purpose of my book and the purpose of my work and the purpose of even these podcasts is to share ideas about how to grow and be stronger in the face of challenge, because we certainly live in a challenging time.
And I love that when you talked about this being your mission, when we prepare for these things,
right?
It gave me goosebumps. Mm. And when you talked about Oprah, this entry that you made, mm-hmm. I thought, what a good example of someone who seems to naturally have been resilient in her life.
Absolutely, right.
And so some people seem to have it naturally. They're able to bounce back. They're able to work through so many things. And others, maybe not so much.
Right.
Or maybe they don't see the resilience in themselves.
Well, and that's a good observation to make, is that sometimes people are resilient and they don't know it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know after Terry died that I had the resilience that I had. It was only through responding to that big experience and then later looking back on it and thinking about it and reflecting on it and reading my book and all that, myself reading it again, that I realized that there was certainly resilience going on and being expressed. And it was not something that I knew about going into it. So I think that there are many people who are naturally resilient who maybe aren't describing themselves that way. But then there are other people who are very close to being naturally resilient, who can learn some of the behaviors and the thought patterns that will let them be stronger when life throws them a challenge. And that's kind of what I'd like to share today, are those ways that we can learn to be in our mind thinking our way through situations or even before a situation in ways that will let us be strong in times of great stress.
And so you mentioned it's a mindset that
it is.
It really is the way that we think, and that we can learn a mindset that tends to lend towards a more resilient way of being.
Right. Something in psychology called hardiness. And hardiness is a system of thinking, our own. We all have ways of thinking, patterns of thinking. And hardiness has three different steps to it. Not steps necessarily one, two, three, but three different aspects. One is to be able to know that we can influence what is happening in our lives, that we are not being victimized, that we have power and control over what is happening to us, and we can in fact guide it or change it or respond to it in ways that will move us in a new direction, maybe a direction that we weren't originally planning on, but as we were going through it, we realized this new direction would be one that would be of benefit to us. And so being able to influence the direction that we're going, knowing that we can influence that direction, means that we feel a sense of personal power mm-hmm. over what's happening. We're not being victimized by life. So that's a hardiness system of, a part of the hardiness system of beliefs. Another one is, and this comes back to what you were saying when you introduced us today, knowing that we have a purpose in this life, mm-hmm. that every one of us, because we are unique and have experienced life experience and personalities and every bit of who we are put together in a way that is unlike anyone else, and therefore we all have a particular purpose that we can offer to the world. And knowing that and being guided by that and what we do in a very conscious way gives us impetus and gives us motivation to keep getting back on the saddle, and mm-hmm. we can come back again to what Rob said, to take the action that maybe we wouldn't have thought of taking, or if we didn't know that we had that purpose, we might just want to sit in the weeds mm-hmm. and not do a thing, because gosh, sometimes it's really hard to get back up. Mm-hmm. But if we have that strong belief that we have an important purpose and the world needs us to be offering that, that's a great motivator.
Definitely.
And then the third aspect of hardiness is the strong belief that no matter what the world offers to us, whether it's good or bad, that there is something to be learned from that. And in fact, one of the things that I'm, or not things, but one of the talks that I'm giving now, when I go in and talk to the social work classes at the university, now that Terry's been gone 10 years, and I'm looking back on what are the gifts in going through, what have been the gifts that have come to me as the result of this very, very challenging experience in losing him. And I'm able to find some major, major gifts and major things that are learnings that I didn't know those things before. I maybe knew them in little ways, but it's only because of the hard living, the hard and painful experience that his loss offered up to me, that I'm able to realize how important, for example, that love trumps everything. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, that I know that now, and I'm not holding back. If I have a chance to offer love to somebody mm-hmm. or a situation or whatever, I'm doing it, because it's just lost. And if we are offering love all the time, then there's no looking back with a regret. Because I didn't. I held back mm-hmm. from him and I realized I felt such regret that I didn't share that to the full extent that I could. And I'm wanting to make sure, for example, that I'm not doing that going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you in your life? What about the resilience, that your beliefs about resilience?
Well, when you mentioned the three components, I think the hardest one for me is the first one.
Yeah.
I think it's easy for me to look back and, mm-hmm. and see how I've learned or understand the opportunities that came up. It's easy for me to look back. What's hard for me to do is moving into it and seeing where there's resilience. I don't know if that makes sense. So that's the part that... and I was going to ask you, how do we get through that part? Because it's easy to look back and say, wow, there were a lot of things that I've worked through, that I've accomplished, that during the time I felt like I was in the middle of a storm.
Right.
And then coming through that. And when you mentioned the piece about love, that's the piece I completely understand and relate to, that having giving love is so expansive and just such a bigger thing.
Right.
And withholding that or not being transparent is just has such a big impact on
right.
on all relationships. So I think that's what I've learned from some of the things I've experienced in my past.
Well, I think, Santia, one of the things that these great deep experiences provide for us in these awareness, like my awareness and what you were just supporting, is that how important love is. And also how important each one of us is in being able to be who we are and how the world needs us to do that. Once we get that awareness, it changes us. And I just would wonder if it doesn't change us at the cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
So that moving forward, we are not the same. And I talk about in my book that we are more. And so in our life going forward, we live with a new kind of awareness. And I believe if we know that is part of resilience, and that we understand that when we are actively being what we know, then we won't worry, can we make it through this hard time? We won't have to wonder about that. We will have that assurance in our own heart and mind that because we've got these the qualities in us now that but so clearly that we're aware of them to the point that we can use them. Mm. So that, just like you were saying, you're so aware that love is expansive. And I see that in you, how you are not afraid to offer your friendship and your concern and your love to the people in your circle of life. That now you're resilient and you know it.
That's true. And that's something I guess I hadn't seen that before. And I think where I transitioned when I said about being transparent, even more specifically, being able to be real
mm-hmm.
and be myself, not what I thought others thought I should be.
Mm-hmm.
That truly, that having that mindset of behaving in a certain way and being a certain person when that's not you,
mm-hmm.
I think that definitely dampens that ability to be as resilient.
You know, the other piece of it I think that's a part of is having the courage to be really conscious. And when we are conscious and aware and making choices from that place, we can examine those places where we're not being true to ourselves. And sometimes we may choose to be a certain way because we have to be a certain way at work, for example. And we want that job because it provides us with financial security. That's probably the most basic piece of it. But also to be really brave about facing the world from a place of courage and not being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the people who I see being resilient have just as many challenges. They have just as many questions that they have to answer. They struggle with finances and they struggle with health and they have challenges and they struggle with relationship questions, but they still have the courage to face them head on. And maybe that's the thing that Oprah has so clearly demonstrated for us, is that she's had all kinds of challenges, both in growing up and in, you know, their weight and up and down. And yet she's not afraid to be who she is through all of those.
And like you said, that afraid or fear.
Right.
And we've talked about in other podcasts too, that really holds us in a certain place that doesn't allow that resilience to.
Right. And maybe the people who are not resilient don't see themselves as having that kind of power over what is going on in their world. So they feel like they are more victims than they are, in control of their own life. They feel, for whatever reason, that their ability to influence what's going on, happening to them and maybe to their families and their world and so on, are very much out of their control. And I think if a person has a knowing that there are always things that we can control. I remember reading Viktor Frankl in Search of Meaning.
It's a very powerful book.
In the Holocaust. And he, of course, was in one of the camps, and what he could control was his belief about his own meaning in the world. He couldn't control anything else, but he could control that, what resilience that man demonstrated. So
definitely, he's another great example.
Yeah, for sure. So
thank you.
You're welcome. Nice to see you today.
Wonderful to see you too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.